Welcome to Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. I'm your host, Dr. William Baker. And this week, we're going to talk about the choices you make. We're going to have a brief discussion on the choices you make, and then we're going to dig into Matthew, continue where we left off, Matthew 5, verse 21, with anger, and go through anger and lust. So before we begin that, like I said, we're going to talk about the choices you make. Now, in the real world, everybody has a choice to make. You hear all the time on TV, you may hear on the news, you may see things. People say, I didn't have a choice, I had to. I had to do this. You know, somebody may insult somebody, somebody may make a comment to someone, somebody may hurt somebody, somebody may kill somebody, and they say, I had to do it, I had to do it. You know, everybody has an excuse. But ultimately, you are the one that has a choice to make. You know, if somebody insults you or does something to you, are you going to take and make a gesture? Are you going to say something? Is it going to be negative, positive? What kind of response would you have? Now, say, not everybody of our listeners may have cars, but say you have a car, you're driving, and someone cuts you off. They just cut you off and leave you no space, cut you off real quick and slam on the brakes. What are you going to do? I mean, a lot of people would get mad. They might have some visible gestures. They may scream, roll down their window and say something. They may try to pull up and pull in front of the car and do the same thing, potentially making a worse situation. Or you're just going to let it go. Did it really hurt you? Why did it bother you so bad? But it's a choice you make. That's just one example of it. Another example, you know, all the killings that we have these days. It's a different thought process, but it's still the same thing. You have a choice to make. Well, I had to because I needed this. Well, what did you really do to rectify your situation? There's other choices to make. You may not see them all at once, but they are. They're there. The other choices are there. You know, sometimes people, you know, someone can get so wrapped up into what they're doing. They're so focused on one thing that they can't step back out of that situation just for a little bit to look at it differently. Sometimes a different perspective is all that's needed to stop someone from doing something stupid that could ruin their life or the lives of others. As Christians, we really need to think about the impact of what we do. That's a big part of being a Christian, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to, you know, have God-like examples in what we do and what we say so other people can see that and realize, you know, that, you know, Jesus is still alive. God's still alive. God is. Jesus is here. He's with us. God's with us. Sometimes we just don't listen. We don't know what to listen for. We haven't tried listening in so long. There's always something out there whispering. Sometimes it's not even whispering. You know, you could say, well, the devil made me do it. Maybe. Maybe the devil had a bad angel on your shoulder whispering to you. Just do it. Nobody will know. It's okay. Let it out. But that's not the right way to let it out. But you can't always blame the devil or a demon or a fallen angel, which are demons. Sometimes you have to just blame yourself. And that's okay. We're flesh. We make mistakes. We have to learn from our mistakes, though. Don't do it again. There's other ways. There's other ways to do it. If it upsets you, it makes you angry and stuff, just step back from it for a second. Take another look. Remember, at the end of the day, when our fleshly lives are done, we'll have to stand before that white throne, that white judgment throne, the judgment seat. And God's going to know what we did. And we're going to say, well, the devil made me do it. No, you had a choice. Everybody has a choice. But as a Christian, you know, for those out there listening that are Christians, as a Christian, you're supposed to keep a higher standard, you know? We're not supposed to be like our politicians. And for the politicians that are listening to this, shame on you. You need to do a better job of acting like a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, don't act like one. Be a Christian. You know, you want to win a Golden Globe? You can act like a Christian. If you are a Christian, you act like a Christian should act. You're not going to win an award for that. No. But it might help pass that judgment when your time comes. And everybody's time is going to come. Everybody has a finite amount of time. The choices that someone makes now in this world, in this life, has an impact not just on you, the choices you make, but everyone. The immediate family around you, they see the choices that you make. Are they good or bad? Maybe you're so wrapped up in something that's just bad and somebody tries to talk to you about it and you snap at them. But then there's a larger circle of your friends that are outside there that see the choices that you make. And it can influence them and the choices they make, just like it can influence your family. And then you have complete strangers who see what you're doing. And the circles keep going. The layers keep going. So when we say, you know, you have to live a God-like life, you don't need to preach it. But if people see it, they can learn from seeing too. And they'll know you're a Christian. Eventually, they'll put it together in their head. That's a pretty happy person. They live a pretty happy life. They're nice to people. They make good comments. You know, it's stress-free. You know, when people think about their friends, you know, which ones stress me out? I bet the Christian friends don't stress them out. If they say the Christian friends stress them out, well, if those Christians really need to think about how they're proclaiming their Christianity and what they're doing. You know, maybe they need to go back and pray more, read their Bible, you know, create that prayer space. Take time out every day to read your Bible. Understand what it means. Don't just read it and understand it. Live it, you know, employ it in what you do every day. But the choices you make at the end of the day, you have to own them. So make wise choices. Ultimately, you know, myself, I want salvation at the end of it. I want to be able to stand before Jesus on that white judgment seat, that white throne, and acknowledge what I did wrong. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to deny it. He knows. And hopefully, my repentance, me asking for forgiveness and trying. And it's a constant struggle. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people say, oh, I failed. I can't do it. But that's part of it, isn't it? Don't give up. It gets easier. The more you do it, the easier it gets. You may be stuck in repeated sin by doing the same thing, that choice. Eventually, you'll get to a point from praying, reading your Bible, and being around the right people, eventually you'll get to a point where you won't make that bad choice. It'll be easier to make the right choice. It'll be harder to make the bad choice. The choice will still be there. But you can just make a better choice at that point. And it's your choice. Whether you're in the right frame of mind or not, at the end of the day, you have to own your choices. So think about that. You know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. What we're doing right now, and a second from now, might be too late. Think about the choices you make. It does impact so many beyond you. So with that, we're going to go ahead and dig into Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, anger. And we're going to talk about lust. So we're going to go ahead with anger, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, what are they saying there? What are they really saying there? They're saying that it's important to reconcile. You know, if you have something going on with someone out there, it is of paramount importance that you fix it. And it's, you know, when they talk about a judge, it's before the judgment seat, you know, before you get before God and have to, you know, say, well, it wasn't my fault, it was their fault. No, it was, you know, your fault in that too. You could have done the Christian thing and went to them and changed the situation. You could have changed the commentary. You have a choice. You have power. You're not powerless in that. You are powerful. God's given you power in that. You don't want, you know, the other party may want to reconcile with you and they might not go to you. But they've asked for forgiveness. Well, guess what? When their time comes and they stand before God, they've asked for forgiveness. Are they clean? Well, if you haven't thought about it and you haven't, well, they're one up on you at the very least. And it says, truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. God knows everything. And that's why they say the last penny. He you know, everything is accounted for. A good accountant keeps all the records. God's the perfect accountant. You know, at the beginning of that, it said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. Whoever says you fool will be liable to hell of fire. They are liable to judgment. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was intentional. We have to remember, we're not the one sitting on that seat. We're not the judges in this. We're not to judge. We're not to hate. You know, it says don't murder. And then it goes into anger. If someone murdered someone, if even if they murdered your relative, the Bible is telling you, you know, don't get angry with them. You're going to be liable. They're telling you right there. Love thy neighbor. Love thy brother. That's what it's. Don't be angry with them. It's not our place to judge. We're supposed to be good Christians. That person has their own relationship with God. We don't know what that relationship is, regardless of what they've done. And that's the difficulty in it. We want to sit there and judge people at times. We're human. We're fleshly. That's what we do. But we're not God. When we judge people, at that point, we're putting ourselves in a position to be like God, but we're not. Who are we to judge somebody else? Are we going to cast that first stone? It really makes you think. And it can be tough because of the act of what the other person did. We don't have to forgive the person. It's not about, you know, necessarily forgiving them, but we don't have to be angry at them either. It's complicated. It really is. You know, the person could be right there. I love you as a Christian, but I don't hate you, but, you know, I'm not going to associate with you. And that's fine. No anger, no hatred. Good Christian. But you're not sitting there saying, I'm going to kill you. You killed my, you know, it goes on and on. You have to stop that cycle. Be a good Christian. It's difficult because Christians are prosecuted everywhere. You know? And it's the human nature. So we have to learn how to get over that. And that's reading the Bible and stuff, being very thorough and attentive in reading. Now, you may not understand what it means. You may not understand parts of it. So you need to have a good clergyman wherever they are. And if the person doesn't know, they can't explain it right, you haven't found the right one. There's a lot of them out there that don't really pay attention to the details. The wording is very specific. And you have to put it in a certain context when you're understanding that wording. And a lot of people don't. So we're going to go on with lust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better to lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go to hell. Now, it's pretty deep. Adultery is considered a very serious offense. You know, you're violating another person. You're not physically doing it. If you're looking at them, you're not physically doing it, but you could be physically committing adultery and breaking a marriage covenant. Now, when you marry, that's like the marriage with Christ. That's pretty serious. Just like when you look at that person and you commit adultery and you're thinking those lustful thoughts. Well, you're not respecting that person as a person. You're looking at them as a piece of meat. You have to look at that person, whether it's a man or woman, and you have to appreciate them for who they are, what they are. Not, oh my goodness, I want to get and hop in the sack with that person. Oh man, that's gonna be so good, the imagination. Well, let's think about it. In reality, you know, not committing the adultery, but let's think about getting what you want in society. Sometimes you get something and it's, oh, this is all right. This is what I wanted. It's just that plain and simple. It's not, you know, you're like, oh man, I really want that. And you get it and okay, you got it. Now what? Where'd the excitement go? What are you going to do with it? You're not respecting the object for what it is. So, that's very sinful. And then, it says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. Same thing with your right hand. If it causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. Better to lose that than your whole body and into hell. Right? You know, it's talking about right. Is there something there? Because it uses the word right. It doesn't say left eye, left hand. It's the powerful. It's usually the more dominant or important. You know, the eye is what people were tempted by. And the hand is the act of doing. You know, you visually see it. Ooh, I see it. I want it. And then the hands kind of extend out and take it or get it, right? Yeah. You know, it's from eye, which it goes to the brain, to the hand, which is action. Well, you know, and you're committing adultery. You know, it's lust. So when we think about lust in the adulterous terms, it's other people affected, impacted. If you're committing adultery, you're married. You know, maybe you should have that lust toward your significant other. Let your hands reach out and touch them. Respect the other people for who they are. So you're committing a sin if you're committing adultery against that person. But the other person, you know, has potentially a significant other as well. Is it adulterous with them too? So now you've got two in it. Maybe the other person wouldn't have thought about adultery if you hadn't approached them. And you're so, what's the word I'm looking for here? You're so determined. You keep on the person until you get what you want. And maybe you're fine with it and the other person regrets it. Things happen. But you don't want to risk, you know, going to hell because you committed adultery. Don't do it. You know? So that's what we talked about this week. We're going to talk about divorce next time. We continue with Matthew. But remember, the choices you make are your choices. Everything you do is a choice. Everything. It's a choice you make. Nobody has to force you to do it. Now, there may be consequences for doing something or not doing something, but you need to understand them. You need to understand. Sometimes you may think you have, that's the only choice I have. But you have other choices. You have a lot of other choices. If you're not sure about choices and you say you only have one and you don't know, you know, reach out to me. Go to Podbean. Go to Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Send me a comment. Put some info in there. I will review it and I will get back to you. I will contact you. I certainly will. You know, I'm here to help anybody I can help. I want everybody to be better. Better than what they are. I want them to live a Christian, godly life. It'll make the world a better place. And we need that because the world's a battleground between, you know, good and evil, heaven and hell. We need to understand it's a battleground. And every decision we make, the war's already won. It's just whose side are we going to be on? So those decisions that we make, very important, the choices we make. So I want to say God bless everyone out there. You know, if you're depressed, don't be depressed. Remember, God's always there with you. You may not realize it. You may not see him, but he is. God's always there. You just have to be listening. You say, well, I'm talking to him all the time. I don't hear him. He's there. But have you really been listening? Have you been studying your Bible? Have you been praying? Are you praying the right way? Studying your Bible the right way? You know? It's not about what God can do for you. God can do a lot for you just by following what he tells you to do as a Christian. It does a lot for your life. It saves people. It doesn't. People don't realize that. But people, I want to win the lottery. I pray and it's not working. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. God gave us the ability to make choices. God put mighty men here. God gave us the ability to perform miracles. And God gave us the ability to love one another, make right choices. I hope everybody has an excellent week. I really do. I want you to go with God. Let your heart not be troubled. Go with God. This is William Baker for Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Have a blessed week. God bless.